a model policy. Treat it fairly at all times. Deal with a complaint with courtesy and in time. Avenues to escalate a complaint is very important. If somebody at a branch level does not hear, it needs to be escalated at a higher level. So avenues to escalate complaints within the organization should be included in the policy. Alternate remedies available to get some compensation for the loss suffered by him. Work without prejudice to the interests of the customers. Response to customer complaints, how it should be given. It should have politeness, it should have promptness, it should have listening. The customer should be heard. Only then his grievance can be understood. If you don't listen to him, how can a resolution be found? Then empathy, he has to be shown empathy. You have to consider him as your own friend, relative or person. You have to step into his shoes and understand the real loss or the real pain gone by him should be understood by you. Then only you will be able to give a solution to him. Recovery, he should be recovering the loss or the deficiency in service he has suffered very quickly. And finally, you should educate the customer what at all you can do, what at all he has to do, so that a proper banker-customer relationship is established and functioning on a day-to-day basis for a longer term. Bank should put in place an effective mechanism to ensure that rude relationship managers do not expose the bank and the customers to undesirable risk. The staff manning positions in customer service departments should receive specialized training for such handling of customers or behaving with customers. Consumer Protection Act 1986 was an important provision for filing a complaint against all those entities who are responsible for providing deficiency in services or defects in the products. The Consumer Protection Act 1986 provides better protection of interests of consumers, and it covers the banking sector also. In addition to the existing legal rights, one can always approach the consumer protection or the district forums or the state forums or the national forums of the Consumer Protection Act. The legal rights can be exercised by taking help of this consumer forums. Hence, in addition to the existing legal rights, one can always oneself of the protection of the COPRA or avail of the protection of the COPRA in case of defect or deficiency of service. Who is a consumer? We have to understand this point, very important. A person who buys goods or hires services for consideration for his use, any user of such goods within the permission of the buyer, is also a consumer. So both these categories also form a part of the bank customer. The Banking Ombudsman Scheme 2006 listens to the customer's complaints. The ombudsman listens to the customer complaints only when it is not resolved by the banks within 30 days of lodging of a complaint with the bank. The ombudsman gets the complaint sorted out and answered to the satisfaction of the complaint. He himself issues a notice, asks explanation from the banks, gives him a period to give a reply to the customer, give a solution to the customer, and if at all no reply is received within that 30 days notice period, then the ombudsman straight away passes an ex parte award in favor of the customer, and the bank is supposed to oblige and comply with whatever solution provided by the ombudsman in favor of the customer. The ombudsman passes an award if the complaint is not settled by agreement within 1 month from the date of receipt of the complaint. What can be the grounds for complaint? Non-payment or inordinate delay in the payment or collection of checks, drafts, bills, etc. Non-acceptance of small denomination notes and coins. Non-adherence to prescribed working hours. Complaint from NRIs having accounts in India. Even NRI complaints can be entertained by ombudsman. Refusal to open deposit account without any reason. Levying of charges without adequate notice. Non-adherence to the Reserve Bank of India instructions. Complaints pertaining to loans and advances can also be taken with the ombudsman. Complaint suggestion box. Nowadays, based on the recommendations made by various committees appointed by the Reserve Bank of India. This complaint solution box also forms a very important aspect of a grievance redress cell at the branch level, wherein the customer can put his complaint into this box, and there are serious time frames for opening the box and resolving these complaints from the customer. So each office of a bank must have a complaint suggestion box at its branch. The grievance: at every office of the bank, there should be a notice requesting customers to meet the branch management for grievances if grievances remains unaddressed. The complaint book register: it is not just that you receive the complaint, it has to be recorded in a register so that a proper monitoring can be done as to when the complaint was received, when it was received, what follow-up has been made for resolving the complaint, and hence this complaint register or the complaint book or complaint register forms a very important part for monitoring of all the complaints received from the customer. The complaint book with perforated copy designed to provide acknowledgement to the customer should be introduced so that one part remains with the customer, the other part remains with the bank. All bank branches must have a separate complaint register. This should be at a prominent place so that anybody who wants to lodge a complaint can find it and accordingly make use of it. The complaints must always be acknowledged. We should not leave the complaints unacknowledged, so that keeps a proper record of the time frame within which the resolution has to happen. How should be a complaint form? The complaint form along with the nodal officer for the complaints must be mentioned on the bank's website so that it can be easily printed out rather than finding for the complaint form at the branch. Complainant should approach the ombudsman only if the complaint is not resolved within a period of 1 month. So it becomes a prime duty of the complainant to first lodge a complaint with the bank, and only after the bank is not giving him a reply for a period of 30 days, after that only he can approach the ombudsman. This information should be displayed in the board put up in the bank. In addition, the name, address and telephone number of the person to whom the complaints may be addressed should also be stated. The ombudsman may pass an award or reject a complaint after he finds whatever documents that are supported are submitted by the complainant to him. On the basis of evidence, that is whatever documents submitted, the principles of banking laws and practice will be applied by the ombudsman, because he is also a senior RBI employee, so he is aware about various banking rules and regulations and will try to find out the best solution out of it. And the directions and guidelines received by RBI will also be handy for him to decide whether the banker has indeed failed in providing the services that it has promised, or whether there was a defect in the product, or whether there was a deficiency in the service. What is the effect of such an award? It shall be binding on the bank. The bank cannot refuse it. Complainant has to send acceptance of it in full and final settlement within 30 days from the date of receipt of the award. So this is very important requirements, that unless and until the complainant does not accept the award, it cannot be becoming binding on the bank, and hence the complainant has to accept the award within 30 days from the date of receipt of the award, and after which it becomes the topmost priority of the bank to comply with whatever terms and conditions mentioned by the ombudsman to comply with. The customer can file an appeal to the appellate authority if he is not satisfied with the award given by the ombudsman within 30 days of receipt of the award from the ombudsman. Same way, banks can also file an appeal against the ombudsman award. Sanction of CMD, CEO or the ED is absolutely essential for filing any appeal against the ombudsman award. 30 days period of appeal begins from the date of receipt of the customer's acceptance, because that is the time from which the bank is bound to comply with whatever instructions given by the ombudsman. Banks to implement the award immediately. All awards are to be placed before the customer committee to enable them to address issues of the systematic deficiencies existing in the bank. All awards remaining unimplemented for more than 3 months are to be reported to the board with valid reasons. Disclosure of non-implementation is essential in the balance sheet notes also, so that it becomes a public document and whoever wants to establish a relationship, whoever wants to buy shares of the company are very much aware about the company's care or the company's policies towards the redressal of the customer's grievances. Guidance of customer is also an important form of customer service. Only when the bank gives proper guidance, proper training to the customer, whatever misunderstanding that might happen can be controlled, prevented at the initial stage itself. All branches except small branches should have an inquiry counter near the entry point of the banking hall. Time norms for specialized business transactions should be displayed. Information regarding service charges, grievance redressal, customer service information, and others must be placed in a comprehensive notice board. The board must be updated all about this on a periodical basis. Detailed information on the notice board should be made available to the customers in booklets so that it is very handy to carry as well as read wherever they would like to take such booklets. The bank's website should contain information of service charges, grievance redressal, etc. Banks can consider displaying the information through touchscreen placed in information kiosk, either at the branch or any off-site location. Information on interest rates and the service charges must also be displayed. Banking hours. Now, lots of confusion is there about banking hours. Various banks have different timings. So, what are the rules and regulations regarding the banking timings? It's very important that the customer is also aware about this rather than disputing about the bank's decision to have a particular timing. Banks should function for public transactions for at least 4 hours on weekdays and 2 hours on Saturdays. It can have more than that. Extension counters, satellite office, one-man offices or other special classes of branches may remain open for such shorter hours as may be considered necessary. No particular banking hours has been prescribed by law, and a bank may fix whatever business hours are convenient for giving due notice to the customer. This last point is very important. Please note, no particular banking hours has been prescribed by law, and hence a bank may fix whatever business hours are convenient after giving due notice to the customer, and obviously this will be taking the customer's requirement to a larger extent. Banks may work in double shifts, observe weekly holiday on a day other than a Sunday, or function on Sundays in addition to normal working hours. This flexibility is given to the bank again to meet the customer requirements. A bank closing any of its offices on a day other than a public day will have to give notice to all parties likely to be affected by such closure. It is important to ensure all relevant laws are adhered to. Bank branches in rural areas can fix the business hours and weekly holidays to suit the local requirements. Employees' working hours should start 15 minutes before commencement of business hours in metropolitan and urban areas. Especially in Mumbai, we find a lot of traffic, even trains are crowded. Sometimes when you get late, there is a tendency of the branch staff reaching late, even after the shutter is open. Some of the branches have customers lined up before the banking hours, and even after the shutter is open, they don't find the staff at place. Hence, it is the best policy to have the employee reaching the branch 15 minutes before the start of the business hours, so that a customer doesn't have to wait for the staff or find any of the counters unattended by the staff. Branch managers and supervising officials must ensure the bank staff are available at their respective counters from the commencement of banking hours and during business hours. No counter should be unattended during the business hours. No teller counter should be closed during the business hours. So we have lots of emphasis on the business hours. Banks should extend business hours for banking transaction other than cash till 1 hour before close of working hours. This can include the issue of passbook statement, issue of checkbooks, issue of term deposits, acceptance of clearance checks, issue of traveler checks, etc. Banks can have evening counters at bank premises beyond the normal business hours. Information regarding facilities provided must be given by placing advertisements and/or displaying a notice on the notice board. The expression public holiday is very important. It includes Sundays or any other day declared by the central government. This power has been delegated to state governments. This delegation is subject to the condition that the central government may itself exercise this function. Therefore, if the central government has declared a day as public holiday, there is no need for banks to wait for state government notification. In predominantly residential areas, banks may keep their branches open for business on Sundays by suitably adjusting other holidays. Banks should also keep rural branches open on weekly market days. Public relations is a very important aspect of customer service. Public relations is a way to create a goodwill and enhance the company's image. A public relations department is also called a customer relations department, and hence it plays a very important role in sustaining an effective customer service. Only when you learn to handle the customer, deal with him correctly, the customer will feel your bank as his own home and have lots of dealing, lots of relationships, lots of transactions with you. Generating awareness and appreciation of the bank's policies and performance is one of the major relationship responsibility of a public relations department. The performance as well as the policies, qualitative as well as quantitative aspects are included, because generally the balance sheets and all have the quantitative aspects, but a lot of qualitative awareness also needs to be created about the products and services, maybe by branding, maybe by some social functions and other functions by which the customer will have a real feel of the bank. To have mutually beneficial relationships with the customer, public relation is a very important tool in the hands of the banks, so that the customer service is given as per the needs of the customer by understanding them properly. What are the tools for public relations? Active participation in social life of the area where the branch is located will bring the customer hearts more closer to the bank, and in turn the bank will understand the real depths of the customer. Contact existing and prospective clients by conducting campaigns, seminars, workshops for mobilizing business also helps the bank to send the image, send the goodwill, send what exactly it means by product and services ideas to the customers. Continuous media publication will help the customer to view that information again and again as and when he finds time at his location or wherever he goes, so that the bank's image is constantly in front of the customer's mind. It is very essential to give publicity to the policies of the bank. Bank should ensure that wide publicity is given to the policies formulated by them by placing them prominently on the website and also otherwise widely disseminating the policies, such as displaying them on the notice board in their branches. The customer should be clearly apprised of the assurance of the bank on the services on these aspects at the time of establishment of the initial relationship, be it as a depositor, borrower or otherwise. Necessary steps should be taken to keep the customer duly informed the changes in the policy. A very important aspect of the customer service from the transparency point of view is the disclosure. Banks should, along with their financial results, disclose information on customer complaints and awards passed by the Banking Ombudsman. A statement of complaints along with an analysis must be placed before the board. Delay of information relating to the interest rates display will not bring about transparency, as display of information relating to the interest rates and service charges forms an important disclosure. Banks must ensure these are prominently displayed at their branches. This information should also be available on the bank's website so that the customer every time does not have to come to the branch to look at all these disclosures. He can very well visit the bank's website and read out whatever disclosures made by the bank at his convenience, at his location, at his tool, whenever and wherever he wants. So friends, we have now completed almost chapter 18 and we are going to the conclusions of chapter 18. Let's see what are the conclusions of chapter 18. Customer seeks a bank not for catchy slogans and the colorful brochures. You don't have to make a loud shout to tell the customer, come to me for business. But he needs a bank for an efficient and prompt service in delivering both financial as well as non-financial service needs. And this can be possible only by a proper, effective and efficient customer service. Offering the right type of service to the customer brings about satisfaction to the customer and to the bank. Time and again, the various committees appointed by the Reserve Bank of India have brought out a clear suggestion: don't bundle out the products just because we have. You have to understand the need of the customer. Will he be using all this rather than giving him all and pricing for all? You have to give the customer only what he requires. You have to give the customer what whenever he wants. You should not give him delayed services. You should always try to give something more than promised so that a customer delight is always present whenever you do any service to the customer. Customer's perception of the bank service is a result of his experience. It is necessary to give something extra in terms of value, and that's what we call it as a customer delight. Creativity and presence of mind are of utmost importance, because as a banker you should know how to deal with a small child, to a younger person, to a married couple, to a mid-aged person, or even to a senior executive. You need to differentiate between a male and female, what would be the banking requirements of both of them, and then give them a product and service suiting their needs. And hence it is very essential to give something with a presence of mind, and it is utmost importance while giving something more than the price paid to the customer, because sometimes you may land up giving more than what you have promised in the product brochures, because everything cannot be promised. Finally, what matters is what the customer wants, what the customers need, and what will make him happy. So friends, that is the end of chapter 18, and now since we have completed all the 18 chapters of banking fundamentals, we are going to take a quick summary of all this, and we are going to come to the present banking scenario, wherein recently, last week itself, we have seen the introduction of the Mahila Bank, and lots other licenses for the new generation banks are going to be given in January 2014. So let's start with something that will be actually an icing on whatever we have learned in all the 18 chapters of the banking fundamentals. The first one, banking fundamentals, lay bare to you the fundamentals of banking. So whatever we have studied in the banking fundamental chapter is very important for you to know wherever you deal with a bank or you yourself become a banker. It's from the time it evolved and the present day. We have purposely studied the evolution of banking right from its birth to the present day, so that Only when you understand the growth of the banking right from the ancient days where it was performed on simple benches to the present highly air-conditioned, highly sophisticated, highly tech-savvy environment, we understand why have we done this. We have done specifically for giving the best service to the customer. We have seen in our post-independence era also, we had totally changed our policy from elite banking to the mass banking, but we were unable to handle such large number of customers, and hence we had to make use of the technology to cater to the larger masses. And now almost most of the banks are on the technology radar. Most of them have implemented the core banking software, and most of the transactions are automated. And that's the reason we have purposely made a point to study the evolution of banking right from the ancient days till the present day. We have also seen the growth of Indian banking from pre-nationalization to the post-nationalization, ushering of liberalization. Now, even though the nationalized banks were largely successful in reaching to the masses, but a basic problem was there in the efficiency and effectiveness, because somehow they were not able to handle the larger base of the people quickly and efficiently. And hence, the ushering of the new era in the 1990s with the financial sector reforms, with the waves of liberalization and globalization, the new generation private sector banks came into the picture, and they thought to the Indian bank, what is efficiency, what a quick service is, what an infrastructure is, and slowly and steadily the nationalized banks also followed suit, the private sector banks, and now both of them are almost at par, and finally the benefit is coming to the customer because he is getting a polished environment, he is getting a high-tech product for his day-to-day requirements at cheaper price. So this new generation banks is again going to add up a new flavor with the introduction of the next new generation banks. Some new more licenses are going to be issued by Reserve Bank of India in 2014, January 2014 to be quite precise. So please watch out for them. Some of you all may be interested in such new generation private sector banks, and this banking fundamentals information is going to be very handy for you for doing a good job for serving the customers. We have a clear idea about what a bank is, what a banking company is, who a banker. These are clear-cutly defined in our Banking Regulation Act 1949. So it is not that, oh, what is a bank, who is a banker, what I am supposed to do in a banking business. Section 5 as well as Section 6 of Banking Regulation Act clearly specifies the main activities as also the ancillary activities that can be performed by the bank. And hence, if you are a product manager, if you want to avail the service of a bank, you are very clear as to what type of service, what type of contract you need to enter, what are your rights, obligations and duties under such banker-customer relationship, and hence the win-win situation is there both for the banker as well as for the customer and also for a student like you. We have also seen what is a customer. We have seen the older definition of a customer and the new definition of a customer as per the KYC guidelines also. We have seen the rights, duties and obligation of the banker as well as the customer, because you just cannot take banking for easy going. Both the parties, the banker as well as the customer, has to perform certain duties, certain obligations which are clearly mentioned in the terms and conditions. Whenever a customer opens an account, he has to sign off the terms and conditions. Only then the bank will agree to accept him as a customer, to open an account for that customer, and once that account is opened as a customer, all the rights and the obligations flow to the customer. The banker becomes legally liable to perform his part, and the customer also becomes legally liable to perform his part. The banking evolution is always happening. This is what we have seen from the ancient times till the present. We had seen the ancient times, we had seen the pre-independence period, We have seen the post-independence period, we have seen the pre-nationalization period, we have seen the post-nationalization period, we have seen the new generation private sector bank, and we are also going to see lots of changes when the next new generation banks are going to come and establish their business in our country. We are also going to see a lot more changes because recently Reserve Bank of India have permitted the foreign banks to open more branches provided they establish a subsidiary for opening rather than just opening branches of their foreign entities. From a single banker to the modern apex banking institutions, as the needs of the customer increases, the regulatory norms, the development activity also increases, and here comes the importance of the central bank, which has taken lots of initiatives to develop the banking culture, to develop the banking business by establishing lead banks, by establishing apex banks like the Export-Import Bank, like the NABARD Bank, so that special focus is focused on those related sectors and banking facilities flow out to them very easily in a time-bound manner so that they can really make use of such banking facilities and prosper not only for themselves but for the economy as a whole. We have witnessed a big innovation in the banking delivery channel in November 2013. This is what I was saying, our latest happening in the last week. And what has happened? We have seen the Bharatiya Mahila Bank, India's first all-women national commercial bank, getting established in our country. One day, on day one, the bank introduced the kitchen loans and assured higher rate on the saving bank accounts to lure the women customers. A special focus on the women is needed, and hence this concept of the government of establishing a separate bank for the women so that women don't have to search anywhere, just go approach this bank and get all their banking needs fulfilled, specifically suiting their requirements. Other special products for women by Bharatiya Mahila Bank includes loans for setting up the catering services and hygienic daycare centers for children of working women. This is a special problem of working women. So when women itself get the finance, when women itself establish such centers, they will be helping other women, and the real purpose of banking or providing finance for women will serve a lot. Educational loans can also be provided by Bharatiya Mahila Bank for the benefit of women, with no processing charges up to rupees 10 lakhs for girls. What was the reason for setting up the Bharatiya Mahila Bank? Predominantly serves women. That is the basic reason for setting this Bharatiya Mahila Bank. From self-help groups, that is group of women, to the small business women, which means an individual woman can also get, and from working woman to the high net worth individual, every woman will get a chance to get finance from a specific agency taking care about interest of the women. Create more job opportunities for women and pay special attention to the weaker and neglected section of the women. Once that happens, every family in our country will improve and India is going to prosper like anything. An excellent initiative by the government for welfare of the women of our country and meeting financial inclusions, and we will see a lot of such initiatives by the government through the banking channel for improvement of our economy in the near future also.